Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour. My name is Lucy Kiden. This evening we look at South Sudan's progress in the fight against conflict-related sexual violence as the world marks the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Now with me in the studio we have Tony Bonini, who is part of a team of experts from New York who just arrived in South Sudan. He will be telling us more about why they're here. And we also have Major General Sadiq Ismail Siddiqui from the South Sudan National Police Service. He will be explaining more on some of the work the police has been doing in the fight against conflict-related sexual violence. You're welcome, Tony and Major General Sadiq.
Thank you.
Now, first off, let's try to understand what conflict-related sexual violence is. Major General Sadiqui, could you please take that up?
Yes, thank you so much. Conflict-related sexual violence is the crime committed always where there is conflict, whether being it armed conflict, whether being it also communal fighting, and this is all what happens when there is a conflict. So for us as a police, we have been our mandate is to prevent, to protect the people and their properties, prevent crime, arrest the perpetrators, investigate and prosecute. There were so many allegations, not without any evidence, that in area where there is conflict, police personnel were involved in crime related to sexual violence in conflict states. As such, in 2019, the police leadership with enemies sat together and they came out with a work plan to prevent SRSV. That work plan was for 2 years, 3 years, 2019 to 2022. The work plan is having 4 pillars. The first pillar is preliminary arrangement of oversight committee, which I'm the chair.
Yes, yes.
And then the preliminary arrangements was made. Oversight committee was established, and also the focal points in the states were established. The second pillar is prevention and accountability. The mandate of the police, as I've just said, since we are mandated according to the Constitution and Police Act to protect the people, we are not supposed to be involved in any crime,
yes,
especially that CRSV. Therefore, we have very serious step in our plan to punish and to hold any police personnel accountable for any crime related to sexual violence in conflict area.
I'm going to stop you there for a bit. We're going to talk more about the detailed role for law enforcement in terms of making sure that conflict-related sexual violence is accounted for and eliminated completely in South Sudan. But before we do that, let me just come to you, Toby. First off, what is the purpose for the visit for this team that you're part of, the one from New York, team of experts? What is the purpose for coming to South Sudan at this time?
Yeah, thank you so much. As you noted, my name is Toby Bonini. I'm with the UN team of experts on the rule of law, sexual violence, and conflict. And our mandate is Security Council mandated team. And we're meant to help national authorities address accountability for conflict-related sexual violence. So our team sits within the office of the Undersecretary General and the Special Representative of the Secretary General on Sexual Violence and Conflict in New York. And she visited South Sudan earlier this year in September. She had a number of meetings with government officials and UN partners. And so we're here to follow up on some of the commitments and conversations that she had to lay the groundwork for some follow-up missions, to participate in this workshop that's being held by with the SSNPS on the action plan, and to speak with some other government counterparts about some ongoing work that we have planned.
Yeah. The workshop is actually on. When did it start, and when does it end?
It started this morning. We had a launch ceremony attended by a number of representatives from the SSNPS, and it will go through tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, two-day workshop ongoing. And what? How does this event, this workshop, align with the broader significance of the 16 days of activism, which started last week? Why is it crucial in terms of, you know, relating with the global perspective of violence, again, gender-based violence generally?
Sure. For those who aren't familiar, the 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence is a campaign that was created in 1991, and it's a key international moment for calling for an end to violence against women and girls, including those affected by conflict-related sexual violence. The campaign runs for 16 days, starting on November 25th, with the International Day of the Elimination of Violence Against Women, ending on December 10th with Human Rights Day. So violence against women and girls, including conflict-related sexual violence, is one of the most widespread, persistent, and devastating human rights violations and remains largely unreported due to impunity, intimidation, silence, stigma, and shame, among other things. Violence against women continues to be an obstacle to achieving equality, development, and peace, as well as the fulfillment of girls' and women's human rights. So events like the workshop on strengthening police capacity to prevent and respond and investigate conflict-related sexual violence that we're discussing, and the launch of the key message cards of the South Sudan National Police Service are opportunities during the 16 days of activism to create awareness around the different types of violence faced by women and girls, to explore actions for enhanced prevention and response efforts, and to highlight the commitment of the government of South Sudan to addressing conflict-related sexual violence.
Okay. Now, this is a global movement. It's a global action plan that happens literally every year. When it comes to a nation like South Sudan, earlier, Major General Siddiqui, you were talking about how the police needs to be the first, you know, to not engage even in any kind of sexual violence. Why is it important for police to also actively participate in marking such a global event as the 16 Days of Activism?
Thank you. So this is the second conference, as I can call, for sexual violence. Last year we held the same, and this is the second one. And then we brought all the state commissioners from the 10 states and the focal points from the 10 states and 3 administrative areas. So the idea behind us is we want to educate ourselves to disseminate awareness to the police and to all our citizens why we want to eliminate totally this CRSV in the police. Because when we sit here in the city, we need to make sure that most of the crimes are committed in the area, not in the city, for example, in the states where there are conflicts. So that's why it is very important to bring all the state commissioner, police commissioner, to come here, and their focal points. We educate ourselves, we disseminate this thing, and then anyone who, again, one of the police personnel involved will be held accountable, dismissed, and will be also imprisoned and will be paying compensation to the victim.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, apart from bringing all the police representatives from the states to the capital city, Juba, are there some events that happen in the states to address this issue right from the root, from the ground?
Of course. That's why we established all the focal points in the states. So we expect from them a weekly report from all the states, and monthly report and quarterly report with all events that take place in the states. Up to this moment, we don't have the correct data of these events. We had last year one in WoW, where a police personnel, a prison officer, committed a crime. That's a crime. It was just a rape. That man has been dismissed and dismissed and in prison for 14 years. The same thing happened in Torit, which was also from Lieutenant Colonel. That man also, that police person was dismissed and in prison. So as such, we don't have any new case recorded against any police personnel from that time.
Okay. Well, it's really crucial indeed to eliminate this vice from the police, because then the police is the one supposed to hold the public accountable. Now, let's look into the action plan. You did touch briefly on it earlier, Major General Sadiq. What are some of the various stages that were involved in developing this action plan?
Yes. As I said before, the action plan was having four pillars. That was the first one is preliminary arrangement, which was to establish a steering committee and focal points in the state. That has been done. And then the second one is prevention and accountability. That is the second pillar. So this is the mandate of all the state police commissioners and all the commanders of area and all the chiefs of the police in all, and even the boomers, to make sure that any action related to sexual violence by any police personnel, that police personnel will be held accountable. And then the third pillar is protection of victims, witnesses, and judicial actors. As you know, for us in South Sudan, we have the problem of, according to our culture, it is not easy for a lady to come and report that she has been raped or she has been doing it, because for us, this is a culture, that lady, especially she's a young lady, she would think that no one, she will not be married again, see, people know that. So we need to protect them. When a certain lady who is brave enough comes and report, so we have to make protection, because the perpetrator will try to revenge. So we have to protect her and then to take care of her, even medication.
And what are some of the planned ways to do this, to give this kind of protection?
Yes. The kind of protection is, when this case is reported, the victim will be put in a safe place. Now we are working to make a safe house where we shall be keeping the victims. For we have also, in the steering committee, we have a doctor, a female doctor, which she will be responsible for trauma, and counseling. So that victim will be kept in that place for counseling and protection. The same thing for witnesses. And then when someone comes and witnesses, we protect the witness so that it may not be harmed, as well as the judicial actors, because they are the ones who are going to prosecute the perpetrators.
Okay. Toby, maybe you could add on a bit on the action plan. What led to the formation of this particular type of action plan for the context in South Sudan?
Sure. It follows from the signing of a joint communique between the government of South Sudan and the United Nations, I think it was in 2014. One of the elements listed in the joint communique was the development of an action plan with the SSNPS, recognizing that it was one of the actors that could help solve or address the issue of conflict-related sexual violence, given its role in investigating these kinds of incidents, and also because the SSNPS is listed in the Secretary General's report on conflict-related sexual violence. So it was a means by which to try and move forward this issue of helping the government of South Sudan to address this challenge. And as the general has said, we worked, the team of experts in the office of the SRHG worked to help facilitate the development of the National Action Plan, which is owned by the South Sudanese.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this was essentially the idea, with the hope that this would lead to positive changes in terms of accountability for sexual violence and the performance of the SSNPS.
Okay. And since its formation and its launch and putting the action plan into action in 2019, where would you say we stand now as a country in terms of conflict-related sexual violence?
Well, I think in terms of the actual action plan in particular, I think it was extended because it was recognized that not sufficient progress had been made on the earlier version. So I think it's been extended to provide more time and more support. We also had the COVID period, which affected the ability to implement the work.
Yes.
In terms of the current situation in South Sudan, which is not unique to South Sudan, this is a global problem, I would say. Unfortunately, conflict-related sexual violence continues to be persistent in South Sudan. It's perpetrated by not only conventional parties to the conflict, but also by armed groups and elements including community-based militias. As noted in the most recent annual report of the UN Secretary General on conflict-related sexual violence, in South Sudan in 2022, incidents of conflict-related sexual violence affected 221 women and 71 girls and included incidents of rape, forced nudity, abduction for purposes of sexual exploitation, sexual slavery, and other types of violations. And then in the first two quarters of 2023, there were an additional 61 incidents of conflict-related sexual violence in 142 individuals. But the actual numbers of incidents is likely much higher. There are many reasons for underreporting, as the general has mentioned, such as impunity, intimidation, stigma, and shame. And this means that the numbers are likely only the tip of the iceberg in terms of the incidents of conflict-related sexual violence. And just to say, you know, these findings highlight the urgent need for robust measures to address the multifaceted challenges associated with conflict-related sexual violence and to ensure that protection and empowerment of vulnerable populations in South Sudan, particularly women and girls. It's also worth noting that the current context, accountability is the exception, not necessarily the rule. It's not to say that there is no accountability, but it's far away from where we would like to see it in terms of addressing this challenge. And then there's a significant effort will be required to create a conducive environment and strengthen the capacities necessary for accountability to take hold, including with SSNPS and other justice actors. And then the last point I guess I would make in terms of the context is there's also very limited services available to support CRSV survivors, and considerable work remains to addressing the lack of awareness around stigma and victim blame and some of these other types of issues within communities in South Sudan. So I think this is something that really needs to be addressed. But it's also not to say that the government of South Sudan is not making efforts, as evidenced by the workshop that we're having today and the action plans. So yeah, progress is being made, but it's slow.
Okay. You did mention that the action plan was extended. How long for?
I believe it was until 2024.
Yes, 2024.
Okay. So you just talked about survivors. And earlier on, Major Siddiqui, you did mention that there is a plan in place to establish safe houses. But are there cases that you've received in the absence of these safe houses? How do you manage to facilitate survivors?
Actually, we have what we call a special desk in all the stations where such cases are reported. What always does the same, at the moment we don't have a safe house. We are arranging with the Minister of Gender and Social Welfare, as well as our partner, the enemies, especially Senior Women Advisory, so that we come out with a plan to have a safe house that will be better. But at the moment where the protection is being done is whether that we kept that person in the station, in the police station, not in the custody, for a period of time, or we handed the victim to the relative after treatment, and then we shall be monitoring the case. But in the case the perpetrator is arrested, no, we don't have fear, because the perpetrator is arrested, then we shall not have fear again for that one. Let me add to what Mr. Tony said.
Yes, please.
Yes, the extension of the work plan, the action plan, comes as a result of our pillar 4, monitoring and evaluation. When we monitor and evaluate our work of 2019-2022, we came to realize that we have not covered all the states. So we are in need. That's why we have invited the police and the commissioner, the police commission of the states, and the three administrative area and the focal points. The second step is we need to train also those focal points how to manage the case of CRSV, as well as, as I mentioned, affordable protection, taking care of the victim, treatment, and so forth. So this is another step which was discovered during a monitoring and evaluation. At the same time, there was lack of communication. That's because there are other places where we did not have focal points. You could not access to the right report. So at this time, we shall be working together with with Anomis, so that we share the information. When they get information, they have to confirm from us, from our records of criminal records in the States. If this is in Juba, then they have to consult us. Otherwise, sometimes most of the information are not correct, and it tempts the peace of the state.
Okay, and with the current, with where you are right now, since the start of the action plan to when it was extended to 2024, we're nearing the end of 2023. What would you say you have achieved so far?
We have achieved so very big, because we have established all the focal points in all the states. We have accessibility to get any information from any state at any time when it's happened. If we get any information, then our focal points, we contact the focal points, and then it will give us the report in detail, the case number, whether the perpetrators are arrested, what is the victim, how old, if it's a juvenile, and what so. So this is what we have received now. What we are waiting for to do, the next test, is to go to train the focal points even in the states. That will be a collaboration with the enemies. We shall be asking them for logistics, just to transport officers to go and make some short training for 2-3 days, one day, 2 days, so that we shall be having every week report all over the South Sudan and the three administrative area for any case of such kind.
Okay, now let's briefly share what's happening at the workshop. Some of the objectives of the workshop is to challenge and correct some misconceptions about sexual violence in security forces and in the community. What are some of those misconceptions that you've come across working in this area, Major Siddiq?
Yes, please. Now, we are working very closely now with the community policing. So this is one of our strong tools we are using, because the community policing are very close to the community. Who will be disseminating this, the policy of the thing? That's why we call these officers to go and disseminate the policy and awareness in the community.
So Major Sadiq, what are some of those misconceptions you keep hearing about sexual violence?
Yes, because sometimes you have, well, for example, sometimes ago, we get some records from which was very exaggerated, that 120 women were raped in Upper Nile, which was not true.
Mm-hmm.
So which is not true. That's why we want to establish our office in their places, because it was said that was in the civilian protective.
Oh, okay. In the protection side.
Protection side, but which was not true, because that cannot happen in one day. 100 women to be raped. That's my fault. That's very, 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 very.
Why do you think so?
It is not impossible. It's not possible. How comes that? Was the gang stormed the camp and raped them in the camp? But they say no. They went to fetch water and look for firewood. How many? It is not reasonable that 100 women can go at the same time to go.
Okay.
To look for firewood, and then at the same time they are raped. So that's so much. This misconception we didn't talk about.
Okay, and so how do you address such challenges that you're facing?
The challenges now, we are arranging it with the women protective advisory, that we should work together to share information so that we come up with a concrete information.
All
if there is any.
Okay, Toby, from your observation, and you've constantly come with teams here to observe and see what the progress is like. Where do you think are some of the gaps that is limiting the police from doing their work, but also from achieving certain milestones?
It's a combination of factors. I think it's not just I mean, if I were to list off some of these, it's not just targeted toward the police, but also just more broadly to the government of South Sudan in fulfilling its responsibility to protect civilians. I think there's a number of things that the government could do. Among these are the, you know, further implementation of the joint communique that I mentioned in signed in 2014 with the UN. Implementation of the action plans.
Could you mind maybe mentioning some of the agreements in this joint communique?
Well, the joint communique it sets out a number of different factors. It talks about service and access to humanitarian access. It's sort of a general document that sets out a number of issues that should be addressed. And then through the different action plans and different engagement with the government and the partners, the idea is to further elaborate and operationalize or implement some of these aspects that are identified. So it's sort of an aspirational document that sets out broad categories of work, mm-hmm. Justice and accountability being one, support for survivors is another, and the reference to the action plan of the SSNPS as well as to the armed forces are also listed.
Yes.
So this joint communique contains this kind of information. So the implementation of that, and by extension, the implementation of the action plans for the police as well as for the armed forces, which we're also supporting, is something that I think would help move things forward. I think some issues, as we talked about, sort of a culture or a lack of sensitization or awareness among communities of this issue or some of the misconceptions that we were talking about. I think publicly condemning conflict-related sexual violence and conducting a countrywide awareness campaign is something that would be helpful to help the population better understand the situation and understand their rights and that these are crimes if they do experience them and what they might do. There needs to be, of course, as I mentioned, with survivors, increased access to healthcare, psychosocial support, legal assistance, economic reintegration, these kinds of things, particularly in rural areas outside of Juba. Similar to what I said before, sensitization of communities of conflict-related sexual violence to avoid marginalization and stigmatization of survivors, which is very common, which is one of the reasons that predominantly women and girls don't come forward is because they may be cast out of their family or community and stigmatized. So this is problematic. There needs to be, of course, further investigation and prosecution of conflict-related sexual violence crimes to promote the safe participation of women and judges. So as was mentioned, one of the pillars of the SSNPS is protection of victims and witnesses and justice officials. So this is something I think that needs to be further addressed. And then the last couple are really, there needs to be some legislative reform. So there needs to be efforts to strengthen the national legal and policy framework to address conflict-related sexual violence. There are some gaps in this area that we are working, or we'll have further discussions with the government during this mission about how this might be done and what that would look like. And then I think we need to end impunity by increasing the likelihood that crimes of sexual violence will be punished. People are not going to come forward if they don't feel that there's going to be a positive, not positive in the sense that someone's convicted, but that the process is legitimate and they feel like there some result will come. So I think we really need to demonstrate that the government of South Sudan is capable and that it's able to deliver that kind of meet the expectations of its population. So I think these are some sort of broad categories. There are, of course, many, many aspects to how you would have to work and develop these kinds of initiatives. But I think the start with the workshop and the action plan that we're here now is a first step. And I think there's, a ways to go. But I think the international community and the UN system are actively working with the government to advance some of these topics.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that in detail. And coming back to you, Major Sadiq, one of the key ways to encourage more reporting, but at the same time is create awareness. And one of the key reasons for this workshop. So what are some of those messages that are being put out there for both the police and the community to know about conflict related sexual violence? What are some of those key messages?
The key messages to the community will be through the community policing, which will be disseminated, and then to all the communities, awareness in all the state and three administrative area. For the police personnel, we launched this afternoon a card that will be carried by all police personnel daily, like the ID card. So that card, if you can allow me to read some.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. So the card, the sexual violence and sexual violence crime. One, rape and other forms of sexual violence are serious crimes under South Sudanese and international law. Two, police personnel must not commit rape or other forms of sexual violence. The duty of the police is to protect the people of South Sudan. Three, police personnel suspected of committing rape or other form of sexual violence crime will be arrested, investigated, and prosecuted. Four, police personnel convicted of sexual violence crime shall be dismissed and sentenced to a maximum of 14 years imprisonment and required to pay victim compensation as per Police Act and other penal code. Five, police personnel who fail to immediately report sexual violence crime to their commander or my commanding officer shall be arrested, investigated, and prosecuted. Six, police personnel are duty bound to treat victims of sexual violence respectfully and with dignity. They must prioritize victim security, legal rights, privacy, and need. Now, somebody who is carrying such card in his pocket, because we are going to distribute it to every police personnel. If he commits the crime, you will have no excuse. So this is for the police personnel. You will have no excuse to say that because we are this. It is an order that you carry it like your ID card so that you know what you can do. Even if you fail to report, this is also a crime. For the community, as I said, will be through awareness. So, for example, like here in the media, and the mostly we need to involve the local chiefs and the police community policing for the community.
Okay, shortly I'll be giving you an opportunity just to speak to the community and, you know, give them the message that you would like to give them. But before that, what you just talked about, this card and the content in it, is one of, I'm sure, many existing accountability mechanisms. And this just addresses police conduct. Toby, what are some of the other mechanisms that are in place and should be introduced?
For the police or just in general? In general,
including police, if there's more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a wide range of tools and mechanisms that can be put in place. So there are cards in line with the South Sudan discussion, but more generally, similar cards could be produced for the military officers because they have similar roles and responsibilities in terms of the way they conduct themselves. In each instance of police and military, there could be revisions to codes of conduct. There could be, reviewed disciplinary measures. There could be command orders indicating that sexual violence shouldn't take place. There could be treatment, mechanisms for coordination between medical services and police and military so that there is referral pathways so that the victims are at the center and they're getting what they need as opposed to maybe feeling, maybe not treated as they would want to be treated. I mean, I don't know how to characterize it exactly,
yeah.
But these kinds of things I think are in place and then are could be put in place. Setting up these committees and focal points within the scattered around South Sudan, I think helps because it extend state authority into The outreaches of Sudan, which helps to relate to communities. So this helps to create this bridge, or could create a bridge for better dialogue between communities and the government about the needs and expectations. So there are many things that could be explored. I think that, you know, our UN partners here on the ground are engaged in a lot of these different topics with the government. So I think these are some of the things that could be done. And then there's the more traditional accountability. As I mentioned, there's issues of, you know, reforming the law and legislation and policies to ensure that they're victim-centered and that the rights are protected and that there's witness and victim protection provisions within some of the legislation, and that there's opportunities for witnesses and victims to, you know, maybe appear anonymously so that they don't have to, you know, be stigmatized as much in the process. There are many, many different things that could be done, but those are just a few.
Okay. Thank you for listing those. Coming back to Major Sadiq, what would you tell the public right now? Because earlier on you talked about community policing. That means the community is very key in addressing these issues, in helping to report, but also in helping to direct police towards the perpetrators, because most times the perpetrators are actually people we know, family members, close relatives. So what can you tell? Right now you have the opportunity to speak to the community. Go ahead. What can you tell them?
Yeah, what I can say to my fellow colleagues, the fellow citizens, that we need, we have the culture. There are harmful culture and there are good cultures. That harmful culture, we have that when a lady is raped, it is not to be reported, this is wrong culture. Because that will encourage such crimes to continue. Another thing is some citizens have the presumption that if a policeman commits a crime, you will fear that where am I going to report to the police, and then the police will not know. There is nothing of this kind. No one is above the law. For example, my office in the ministry, the director of legal affairs, I have a special department which is just for the complaint against the police. Not even that any complaint against the police is raised to my office, and then we have the police court, which is faster than the civil court. Then if it reported to us, we arrest that police, we investigate and we prosecute, and then it will be tried by police court. So what I'm telling my fellow citizens, that they should not fear to report to the police if any police commits a CRSV. They should not fear that the police will not take action. Now we are very serious that we want to make sure that we don't want to hear anything concerning the CRSV among the police personnel anymore. Unless I want you to help us to execute our action plan by reporting. And then I will assure you that if you report, for example, if you know your neighbor, something happened of this kind in the house of the neighbor, come and report. We shall just send our police to go and arrest the people and take that girl for medical examination. And if it is proved, then we shall not say misuse Mr. X and Y that report. That's what I can assure you for that one. We need to eliminate that crime.
Okay. Thank you for that. They have heard it. Make sure you are providing opportunities to report if you know somebody who is a survivor of sexual-based violence, conflict-related sexual violence, any kind of gender violence. Reporting is very, very key. Do not stigmatize that person. Now, Toby, what more would you like to add to this in terms of looking at the general perspective, looking at South Sudan's stance from the global action towards ending conflict-related sexual violence?
As I mentioned earlier, conflict-related sexual violence is an unfortunately common aspect of conflicts around the world, so it's not unique to South Sudan. But nonetheless, it's a problem in South Sudan, and we need to collectively address it. And so I think we need to work on a broad range of topics. As I said, I think our approach needs to be holistic and put survivors at the center of our work, and we need to make sure that they receive the sort of support that they need in terms of medical assistance, psychological support, economic empowerment, legal aid. These kinds of things are necessary not only for the benefit of the survivors, but also for accountability processes. It's difficult for someone to pursue accountability if they're unwell physically or if they're mentally, you know, traumatized, they don't make necessarily for the best witness or other judicial processes. So it's really important that they're in a good place and that we help them get there. And I think if I were to leave your audience with one point in terms of this, I think it would be that conflict-related sexual violence is not an inevitable byproduct of war. It is something that can be stopped. It must be stopped. And we need to work together. The only way that this can be done is if we work together to prevent and respond to this. So I think the efforts in collaboration with SSNPS and other partners within the government of South Sudan, and then, as we just discussed, reaching out to the communities and engaging them in the process and hearing their voice, engagement with civil society, these are the only ways that we're really going to make the sort of cultural change that is required in South Sudan in order for this to be sustainable and to sort of put an end to conflict-related sexual violence.
All right. Thank you so much, Toby Bonini. Now, finally, Major Sadiki, I'm going to ask you to speak a bit in Arabic. Yani itabonusu an musulia ta muchama.
طيب اول حاجه انا عايز اتكلم مع المواطنين بتاعنا بتاع جنوب السودان انه عندنا جريمه بتاعت العنف ضد المراه في مناطق بتاعت النزاع. ده بيحصل كتير جدا جدا في مناطق فيها حروبات بين الجيش والمسلح والقوات المسلحه تاني, وبرضه في مناطق بتاعت النزاع او نزاب القبلي, البنات والنسوان هم دائما الضحايا, يعني بيقتصبوهم الأطفال بيقتصبوهم. ونحن برضو نحن نصنف العنف ضد المرأة في ابن الزواج المبكر, لأنه دي برضو من النوع البيعات اللي هنا. فأنا بقول للمواطنين بتاعنا هنا عندنا أعضاء الدارة, اللي هو واحد ما الواحدة ما دار تشتكي أو تبلغ إني والله يا أخي اقتصبوني, لأنه لو ناس إيري وقال يا أخي بدي اقتصبون بيحتبروها مرة ما كويسة وما بزوي لا. فلمصلحتك أنت لازم تبلغ, ويشين ربما يكون الزول اقتصبك عنده أمراض بعد ممكن تاخذ علاج عشان ما تجيك حاجة. الشيء الثاني بتكلم الأبوات, مشاكل اللي بيحصل والديل أول حاجة بيكون قدامه كلام ذات المال, يقول يا خلام دي ونزو في البيت. ما صحيني ونزو في البيت, لأن جريمة الوقع ده بتفضل واحد بيفكر في قروش قال لي بيتي ده ما بيتك, ده بيت بتاع دولة جنوب السودان. الشيء اللي حصل له ده جريمة ضد الدولة, ما عشان موشن بيتك ولا أختك, ده مواطن سودانية لازم يأخذ حقه قانوني من قبل الدولة. فلذلك احنا مطلوب منكم المواطنين لازم تبلغ. وفي ناس عندهم افكارين والله يا اخي اذا كان العسكري بتاع بوليس ارتكب جريمه زي ده بنشتكي منه, لا ما بيزول فوق القانون, تيجي طوالي تشتكي مراكز الشرطه, او اقرب حاجه برضو تجينا في مكتب بتاعي هناك في وزاره مكتب الشؤون القانونيه. انا عندي 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 جزء اداره خاصه باستلام الشغاوي ضد الشرطة, تيجي هناك تبلغ لنا أن إحنا طوالي بنقبل على الشرطة ده من حقك معه, وبنعمله محكم فورية بمحكمة الشرطة, هو أسرع من محاكم بتاعة المدنية. الآن يقول لك تعال بكرة تعال بعد بكرة, نحن تحقيق بنتي في يوم ثلاثة أربعة يوم تالي طوالي شكل محكمة زول اللي يحكم, أن إحنا بنحكم بكل أنواع بتاعة الحكم ما ده الإدام في الشرطة.
Carlos, shukran Major Sadiki, and thank you, Tony Bonini, for making the time to come here to speak more on how far we are in the fight against conflict-related sexual violence. Both humanitarian partners are engaged in this. We have the police engaged, the government is involved, and it's an issue that indeed we hope to see that one day we'll be able to testify that we've done our best and it has reduced over time and hopefully eventually gets eliminated from South Sudan and across the globe. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. We've come to the end of Nationwide Discussion Hour today. My name is Lucy Kiden. Good evening. Up next, we'll have the news at the top of the hour. Bye-bye.